in the light.
Is that anybody's style music? I don't know if you like that. Like it? Do you like it? Yeah, some of you? A few, yeah. I'm not sure where I got that from, but it's been in my music for a while. But I thought of it when I was getting ready for this message today. And of course, you could probably figure out what I'm talking about. This is the first I am statement that we're going to look at that Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so with that statement, I'm curious, what do you think about it? Maybe it's very familiar, and you're like, oh, I know that. But I come back to the question we looked at last Sunday where Jesus asked the disciples, and I said, I want you to think of him asking you, who do you say that I am? And now here's a statement that Jesus is telling them, here is who I am. Last Sunday, I asked you to think about rebooting or reorienting yourself or refocusing your life on who or what should be the center of it. And I made the case that that should be Jesus. And I want to continue to make that case over the next few weeks as we look in particular at who Jesus said he was. I'm going to keep asking this question, do you know Jesus? And I know for some of us it's going to be pretty easy to write that off. Like, well, of course I know Jesus. I grew up in the church. I've heard about Jesus all my life. And so you might be tempted to kind of tune out, like, well, he's going to be talking about stuff I already know, so really I don't need to pay attention here. I'd encourage you to hang with me on this. Because I don't believe any of us here really know him all that well. And I'm not saying that as a criticism to any of you. I'm saying that simply because of the depth of who Jesus is and the incredible statements that he made about himself. If you look at this statement here, it is a pretty incredible statement. If you think of anyone making this kind of statement to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's huge. There's no way around it. No other way to put it. The claims are enormous. And if we believe that these claims are true, they will change everything. Everything in our lives would really need to change. If we believe that these claims are true, we will never be the same. Well, the first thing I notice about these statements is the singularity of them. The singularity of these statements. There is one way, one truth, and one life, as Jesus states it here, and it is him. Very singular in focus. You know, it doesn't fit well with most people. These kind of singular statements don't fit well in our society today. We're told that there are many ways, there are many truths, and there are many lives, really, that one can have. And so this singular idea, these singular statements really don't sit well in our society. Last week, I asked, you know, if Jesus were to walk in here today, would he fit into our world? Would he fit into your world if he were to walk in here to hang out with us today, this coming week? How would he fit into our world? I would not describe our lives in general as singular, would you? That there's a singular thing that our life is necessarily about. But probably the word plural would be more fitting. Our lives are busy and complicated. All kinds of things going on. Most of us are juggling many balls in the air, trying to keep them all afloat. And unfortunately, sometimes one of those balls is our relationship with Jesus, that we're just trying to keep afloat with all the rest of the things that we have going on in our lives. But Jesus' statement is radical in its singularity, and it shakes the plurality of our lives that we live. It shakes us if we really think about the singularity of his statement. I want to take each of these statements this morning and look at them. The first one, Jesus is the way. And my first question when we look at that is, what way is Jesus talking about? Does Jesus have a preordained order for your life? What do you think? Does he have it all mapped out? And so you just need to follow that map, just like maybe we could call it a Jesus GPS, maybe. You're driving down the street and it says, in 500 feet, turn right. Okay, I got that. I'll turn right. Is that the way that Jesus is talking about here? That he has this ordained path for you that you need to just listen and follow, and he's going to show you exactly what he wants you to do? Well, I believe that Jesus does direct our steps, but it's not usually, at least for me, GPS clear as to what those are. Often, I don't know what he's doing with my life. Often, I'm not sure which way to turn. His directions seem like a mystery to me sometimes. Plus, I really don't think this is the way that he's talking about. And the disciples were confused about this as well, and it would benefit us to read the context of where this statement is made. It's in John chapter 14. I want to read the verses preceding. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is the night that he is betrayed, the night that Judas betrays Jesus, his last moments really before he went to the cross. And he's trying to reassure them of some things. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, Thomas is confused. And you know, I think so are we. We could say, if you would just show us the way, we would know. Have you ever told Jesus that? You know, if you would just tell me, I have this decision here. If you would just tell me which way to turn here, I'll do it. How many of you have ever kind of negotiated with Jesus? Many of us have done that. Just tell me, and I'll do it. Just show me exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I'll follow it. And here's kind of what Thomas was coming from. If you just tell us, we don't really know what you're talking about, where you're going. Just show us and we'll go. But how can we know if you don't show us? Give us that GPS that we're looking for, right? Well, Jesus says something fairly startling to him. He says, I am the way. Don't look past me. I am everything that you need. You need to believe in me. You need to know me. You need to trust me. You need to learn from me. You need to follow me, even if I don't show you exactly in 500 feet, turn left. I am the way. This way is not simply the way of this life, which we tend to think about, but it is much greater than that. It's a way that's beyond this life. And eternal life, as Jesus states earlier in John chapter 3, it's a way to God. And so coming back to us, I have to ask this question. What way are you looking for? What is the way that you're looking for? What is the way that you're most concerned about? What is that way? Is it the way that Jesus is talking about, or is it maybe some other way? In my experience, often the way that we're looking focuses primarily on this 50 or 60 or 70, 80, whatever number of years that we have on this life, in this world. That's the way that we're focused on. And so almost all of our questions pertain to, okay, Jesus, what do I do in this way? Where should I go to school? Who should I get married to? What job should I take? Where should I live? All of these questions, we are wanting Jesus to show us exactly what that way is. And I think often he leaves a lot of those decisions up to us to figure out. But what about the way to the rest of your life? Do you think about that much, the rest of your life? And if we consider Scripture, the rest of your life is eternity, right? We have this 50 or 60, whatever number of years here on this earth, but then the rest of our life is eternity. What about that way? And what about the way to God? And this eternal home that is waiting beyond the horizon of death. Do you know this way? Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other. There is no way to God, the Father, outside of me. It is singular. It doesn't sit very well in our world. In a world of many religions, Jesus says, I am the way. In a world of many pursuits, all kinds of things pulling at us in all different directions. In a world of many dreams of what we would like to do in life, what we would like to have, where we would like to go, the pursuits that we have, Jesus says, I am the way. In a world that says you can have it all, Jesus says, John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It's a very stark description, a very singular path. He describes it this way in Matthew chapter 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. What a sobering passage. Are you on that easy, plural, multiple ways road with the many that leads to destruction? Or are you one of the few who have found this narrow gate, this singular path that leads to life? This gate who is named Jesus. It's so singular that Jesus says the following about the focus of our lives in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. I don't know about you, but I'm struck by how hard and narrow this is. There's no middle ground. And I kind of like middle ground. I kind of like to hedge my bets a little bit. Investment strategies, they tell you what? Put all your money in one place? No, that's not generally a good investment. But you know, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, there's one way, one place. Put all your eggs in this basket. And I told somebody the other week that, you know, I've done that. I feel like I've put all my eggs in this basket. And sometimes I doubt. Sometimes I'm afraid. Sometimes I think I'm foolhardy. But you know what? I believe that there is only one way. I believe that there is only one way. And that's Jesus. And I am putting all my eggs in that basket. I'm putting them all there. Because I believe He is the way. The second one, Jesus is the truth. And these are so closely tied together that you really can't talk about one without talking about the other. You know, our world says that truth is subjective, that your truth is good for you, and my truth is good for me, but don't push your truth on me, and I won't push my truth on you. And so, you know, I think about this occasionally. I think, well, you know, if I were to be doing 50 mile an hour in a 25 zone, you know, and the police officer pull me over and say, you're speeding, I would say, no, officer, you don't understand. See, I believe that this is a 50 mile an hour zone. What do you think he would say to me? He would say, oh, well, of course, well, your truth is good for you. My truth is good for me, so go ahead. Or what if I were to say, well, my shirt is pink? What do you think? Is it pink? Is it okay? It's okay for me to think it's pink. It must really be pink then if I were to say it's pink. And maybe, you know, with that kind of, you could call it whatever color you would like. In fact, we wouldn't even have to worry about color blindness because everybody could just pick the color that they wanted things to be. You want a blue car? You could say, I have a blue car. Be great. Or some of the tougher questions that I think about in this world. What if I were to decide that I'm a woman instead of a man? Can I do that? Does it make it true? What if I were to decide that the vows that I made before God to my wife in marriage are no longer binding? I don't need to follow that. That was back then. This is now. I've changed my mind. The truth is, this is where I'm at now. Or if I were to decide that the flood didn't happen, that's described in Genesis. What if I were to decide that it's okay to kill people in certain situations? Does that make it okay? And who gets to decide that anyway? That it's okay to kill this person now and not this person over here? Who decides that? These questions, they make me think of the question, what is truth? And you know, this is a question that Pilate asked Jesus when they were conversing, when Jesus was on trial. And Pilate said, what is truth? And it was a response to some things that Jesus told him. We're going to get to that. But for you, the question, what is truth? How do you define it? Is it simply what you want to believe? And what I want to believe? Is that what truth is? Is that what establishes and defines truth. I know of people who don't want to talk about certain things because they don't want to hear anything. They don't want to hear opinions or thoughts that would be contrary to the truth that they believe. In fact, there are Christians who don't want to discuss certain passages in the Bible because they don't want to talk about, they've already decided in their mind what truth is. So don't bother me with what the Bible says. I don't want to hear it. How do we decide what truth is? Are there many truths, or is there one keeper of truth? Will we drift with the shifting truths of our society and even our own self-centered desires? Are we going to let ourselves define what truth is based on what we want it to be? Or are we going to acknowledge a truth that is higher than us? An objective truth, a truth that is higher than our nation, higher than any other power in the world. And Jesus' statement to Pilate before he made this question, he asked this question, he said to Pilate, "I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone is of the truth who listens to my voice." This Jesus talking to Pilate. Jesus is the truth. There is no truth found outside of him, just as there is no way found outside of him. To know him is to know the truth. And we're not simply talking about knowledge here. We could obtain a lot of knowledge, and knowledge can be very useful. I'm aware that probably many of you are in school. We have a lot of students from RBC here. You're obtaining knowledge. Especially at RBC, you're obtaining knowledge about the Bible and about Jesus, facts, things to know. But we're not simply talking about knowledge here. I think of Bart Ehrman. Many of you may know his name, who used to be a Christian, studied and graduated from Moody Bible Institute and Wheaton College. Got a Master's of Divinity and a PhD from Princeton Theological Seminary. He's a brilliant scholar. But he doesn't know Jesus. You know, if what Jesus says is true, then this brilliant man doesn't know the truth. Even with all of the knowledge he has about the Bible, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know the truth. You know, during Jesus' day, it was the most knowledgeable religious leaders that gave Jesus the most difficult time. Think about that. They were the ones that gave Jesus the most difficult time. They opposed him at every turn, ultimately arresting him and crucifying him. And you know, it kind of blows my mind when I think about what would it be like to be there and see Jesus perform the miracles. Can you imagine standing there and watching the blind man see for the first time? What that would be like to see that happen? Or the lame, or to see the demons cast out? Or to hear the teaching, the truth of Jesus' words. And yet these religious leaders were there. They saw it. They saw and they heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. And what is the response to that great miracle? It says they immediately began to make plans to kill him. You know, you can know a lot of facts, but if you don't know Jesus, you don't know the truth. We can't change the truth. Truth is still truth, even if no one believes it. A lie is still a lie, even if everyone believes it. Do you believe that Jesus is the truth? Not one of many truths, not one of many paths, not a subjective truth, not a truth just because your pastor or your Sunday school teacher or your parents told you that it's true. It's not true because they told you it's true. But do you believe that Jesus is the truth? Do you accept his truth over any other? Is it singular, objective, preeminent truth? Is it the foundation of your life built on this solid rock of Jesus Christ instead of the shifting sands? Jesus said, "I am the truth." And the last one, Jesus is the life. First John 5:12 says, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." I don't know that it could be put any plainer than that. Oh, I know there are a lot of counterfeits that present themselves as life. I know there are many who believe that they are living the life. But if Jesus' claims are true, no real life exists outside of him. It makes me think of last Sunday. Doris and I were walking out to the car to come to church. We got in, I turned the key. Nothing. Wouldn't start. I was really confused because I didn't think I left the lights on the night before. It's like, what's going on? Of course, didn't really have time to deal with it then. And so Monday, I'm thinking about, I got to go out and work on the car, figure out what's wrong with that. And of course, at the same time, Bryce's car was having trouble, so I had two cars to work on Monday. But I got into that car again and I was confused. I was like, there was absolutely no electricity at all, no lights, nothing. So I popped the hood, I checked the battery. The battery is fine. It's at the top of voltage where it should be. So I'm like, well, it must be a fuse or something like that. Somehow the power from the battery is not making it to the rest of the car. So I checked for a main fuse. Yes, there's a main fuse. I checked it. Fuse is fine. What could it be? I got voltage here. None of the car has voltage. The car is dead. And so as I was playing around, if you're familiar with cars, you know that the negative on the battery is connected to the frame of the car, and that sends that allows you to complete the circuit. And so I started checking from the frame to the battery, and it's like I only had 1.2 volts. You're only supposed to have 12 volts or 13, somewhere around there. And so I got to figure out that this wire that was bolted to my frame of the car, like a year ago, I was in an accident, and that side of the car was smashed in, and then parts of it were replaced. And you know, when they replaced it, they painted it nice, pretty blue, and then they bolted this thing back on, which paint doesn't really conduct very well, if you know anything about electricity. And so it eventually just broke the connection. So I had no connection of that negative terminal to the rest of my car. So all I had to do was clean that off, get that connected again, and everything was fine. The car came back to life. And maybe it's a crude example, but it helps me think about the fact that if I am disconnected from the one who is life, how is it that I can expect to experience true life? Can I expect that to happen? If there's no connection between me and Jesus, Can I expect to have life? Scripture says, for we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Our sins eternally separate us from God. And it's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the only one. It's only through me that you can come to the Father. Your sin separates you from God. There is no way that you will make yourself good enough to be able to be in the presence of a holy, perfect God. Jesus says, I am the only one who can bridge that gap. By his sacrifice on the cross, his perfect sacrifice that covers our sin and reconnects us to the Father. He's the only one who can do that. He's the only one who can bring life. John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, or other translations say, to the full. And you know, I think often people have it wrong about Christians and Christianity. They think that we don't have a life somehow. You know, that our life is nothing, that we are somehow restrained from the things that really are life. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Those who are connected to Jesus are the ones who truly experience life. And that should show. If we are truly connected to Jesus, people will know. They will know that you truly have life. My question this morning is simply, will you choose Jesus and choose life? Not just life today, but life for eternity. Jesus, by going to the cross and dying for our sins, has prepared a place for us to be not only with Him, but also with God the Father for eternity. And someday He will take us home to be with Him. And I am looking forward to that day. That promise means more each and every day to me. It's been about a year. Since my brother passed away, September 19th of last year. It's been about 8 years since my mother passed away, and about 30 years since my father passed away. And you know, I am looking forward to seeing them again. We have a promise that through Christ, we can spend eternity with Him. And not only with Him, but with others who have gone before us who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so each day, the idea of this, the thought of this, the hope of this, that someday, not only will I be reunited with them, but I will see Jesus face to face. I will see the Father. Not because of anything that I've done or accomplished, but because of what Christ has accomplished on the cross for me. I look forward to that day. And you know, we don't look at life that way. We look at the day-to-day things and we believe that this is life. But this is just a vapor. That's the way the Bible describes it. It's a vapor that is here today and gone tomorrow. True life awaits us. A life like none that we could ever imagine or think of. And I have a pretty good imagination. I love science fiction, fantasy books, to get lost in other worlds of what. And this heaven that's described is beyond anything that I could ever come up with in my imagination. This life that we have in Christ, both now and for eternity, is something far beyond Everything that we, all the difficulties and things that we experience here will seem light and momentary compared to that day when we will be with God face to face. And so I'm looking forward to that day. And so back to the question to close. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life? I want to ask you, would you exchange your way for his way? It's not a simple question. It's not a light question. It's a serious and difficult question. But would you exchange your way for his way? Would you exchange your truth for his truth? And would you exchange your life for his life? Let's pray. God, thank you for the truth of your word that we have to study and learn and know. But Lord, I ask that this truth would penetrate our hearts. I know I don't have the capability of presenting it in some fantastic way that will just rock people. I don't have that. But God, I know that your Holy Spirit is at work here today. And you are revealing truth to us. I ask that you would peel back the layers of our hearts that we might receive it. That you might push past the confusion in our minds about what is truth, the confusion about what is the way, and the confusion about what is truly life. We ask that you would push past those things and reveal yourself to us, that we might know, Jesus, that you are the way, that you are the truth, and that you are the life. We ask these things in your name. Amen.